بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد الحمد لله. This is lesson 3 in our special Ramadan program concerning فضائل القرآن. And the first two sessions were really just a few different muqaddimat or introductory matters before we delve into the material. We talked about fada'il al-Qur'an as a particular genre or subgenre of ulum al-Qur'an, the sciences of the Qur'an. We talked about the linguistic meaning of the Qur'an according to different opinions and the technical definition of the Qur'an. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about one aspect of fada'il al-Qur'an, and that concerns the immensity of divine speech. Now, last night we talked about the fact that the Qur'an is kalamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine speech. Tonight we talk a little bit about the immensity of the divine speech. Before we learn about the other virtues that concern the Qur'an itself, the reciters of the Qur'an, the memorizers of the Qur'an, and so on, we first want to understand a little bit about the azamah, or the immensity of the divine speech. And to establish this, we focus on two particular verses and a couple of hadith. The first set of verses is found in Surah Ash-Shura, in the very beginning of that chapter, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Hameem, Ayn, Seen, Qaf. Kathalika yuhi ilayka wa ila alladhina min qablika Allahu al-Aziz al-Hakim. Lahu ma fi al-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, wa huwa al-Aliyyu al-Azim. Takadu al-samawatu yatafattarna min fawqihin, wal-malaikatu yusabbihuna bihamdi rabbihim, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. In the beginning of Surah Ash-Shura, Allah Ta'ala begins with the al-huruf al-muqatta'a, the disjoined letters. Ha, Mim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf. And then he says, كَذَلِكَ. And so you, referring to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, are sent revelation, wahi, like those before you, by Allah, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, the Almighty, the Supremely Wise. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth, and He is the most exalted, the greatest. The heavens nearly burst asunder, one above the other, and the angels glorify the praises of their Lord and seek forgiveness for those on earth. Surely Allah alone is the all-forgiving, most merciful. So these verses in the beginning of Surah Shura establish for us the tremendousness of the Qur'an, the azama or immensity of the divine speech, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects that fact, the fact that He sent the wahi, He connects that with His two names, Al-Aziz, the Almighty, and Al-Hakim. Another way of translating Al-Aziz is the one to whom nothing else may be compared, the incomparable, and the wise in sending revelation to the messengers. So he goes on to say, subhanahu, to Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth, meaning He owns everything. And then He says, the heavens above us nearly burst asunder. They nearly burst, one above the other, out of awe for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what this tells us is that the heavens themselves are impacted by the force of the divine speech. So this verse mentions the wahi being sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and to the previous messengers. Allah mentions His name Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, And he mentions that the heavens nearly burst asunder out of awe for him. And this establishes that the heavens and the earth are, as it were, overwhelmed by the force of the divine speech. That is our first verse. The next verse that establishes the immensity, the tremendousness of the divine speech, the Quran, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Saba that no intercession, shafa'a, will be of any benefit with him except those who are granted permission by him. And at last, he describes now the Day of Judgment, at last, when the dread or the terror of the Day of Judgment is relieved from their hearts, they will ask the angels, what has your Lord just said? What has your Lord just said? And the angels will say, the truth, and he is the Most High, the Tremendous. So this ayah has actually been discussed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's in connection with the immensity of divine speech. Imam al-Bukhari transmits in his Sahih that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this ayah that when Allah Ta'ala decrees a command in the heavens, the angels flap their wings in submission to what he said. And the angels' wings, when flapping, actually make a sound. He said that when they flap their wings, it sounds like a chain on a boulder. So this is describing the sound of the angels' wings as they flap. It sounds like a chain being dropped on a boulder. You can imagine what that sounds like. And it says, he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the dread is relieved from their hearts, meaning the angels' hearts, they say, ماذا قال ربكم? What did your Lord say? What did your Lord say? And that they will say regarding what he said, the truth. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. So this tells you that the angels too also feel the immensity of the divine speech. So this is the first two set of verses that establish the immensity of divine speech, along with the prophetic commentary on what that means. Now the Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that when Allah Ta'ala speaks revelation and the inhabitants of the heavens hear his speech, they tremble with awe until they're overcome with a condition very similar to fainting. So this is kind of like Ibn Mas'ud's commentary on what was said in this hadith. So we know from these two verses there is immensity in receiving the divine speech. But we see that immensity also conveyed in other narrations. For instance, the long hadith of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, the famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the book Kayfa Bada'a al-Wahy, How Did Revelation Begin? She transmits that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam describes the moment when the Quran was first revealed to his blessed heart. And when he encountered Jibreel for the first time, we all know what happened. The angel Jibreel said to him, Iqara, recite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what? Ma ana biqari. I am not a reciter. And then the angel Jibreel squeezed him very tightly three times. This is what the hadith mentions. When he says to him, Iqra, and he says, Ma ana biqari, I'm not a reciter, he squeezes him very tightly three times. Now the question is, why did the angel Jibreel squeeze him tightly three times? What was the wisdom behind that? The scholars have offered different explanations for the possible wisdoms behind that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not being hurt by the angel Jibreel, even though it was intense. Some of the ulama say that the reason why Jibreel squeezed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to get his attention and remove from him any possible worldly distraction. Personally speaking, I'm not convinced by that, simply because he's not distracted by the dunya, number one. And number two, where was he in this moment? He was in the cave of Hira. He was going for tahannuth, for seclusion and devotion. So he was not in any distracted place to begin with. He had his full attention. But some say it was to get his attention. Others say, no. They say it was a loving embrace, even though it was intense, where Jibreel alayhi salam was actually seeking closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, ma ana biqari. And he squeezes him three times. Some say that this is to apprise him of the fact that he's not dreaming, because revelation first came in the form of true dreams. So by squeezing him, he's letting him know, you are awake, and what you are about to receive is in a wakeful state. And others say that no, the angel Jibreel is squeezing him like this to prepare him to receive a very heavy statement. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. As Allah Ta'ala says, we are going to send to you, cast upon you a very heavy statement. And so then he received the revelation of Allah Ta'ala, Kalamullah, from the Qur'an. Now other hadith describe the immensity of the Qur'an after this moment. So we see immensity in how he received it. It was very weighty on him, such that when he returned home to Sayyida Khadija, what did he say? Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me up. لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. And the soundest interpretation of that statement, I was afraid for myself. They say what that means is he was afraid he would be unable to bear the immensity, the weight of Kalamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. So in other narrations we find that as the revelation continued, it would be experienced in other ways, all of which were weighty and heavy upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other hadith in Bukhari, also from Sayyidah Aisha, she transmits that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sometimes the revelation is revealed to me like the ringing of a bell. He says, this form of revelation is the hardest to endure, but the hardship subsides once I have grasped what is revealed to me. Sometimes, he says, the angel appears to me in the form of a man, and he talks to me and I understand whatever he says. This is in one hadith. In another narration, Sayyida Aisha, who you have to understand why she's narrating so many of these, she's living with him. So she's not just his wife, but she's also in the house in those moments when he receives the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she is seeing firsthand the weightiness of the divine speech as it's cast into his blessed heart. She says, I would see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving wahi, revelation, on a very cold day, and I would notice sweat dropping from his brow. You can imagine a very cold day, you're standing outside or you're in a place where there's no heat, and all of a sudden a person who was a minute ago cold, and then now, 1 minute later, they're hot and they're sweating. That is what she saw when he received wahi. And one narration tells us that when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam would bring the wahi, the revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would lower his blessed head and experience the weightiness of the wahi. There's a heaviness that even would impact his posture. A narration in Bukhari tells us more. It says in the hadith in Bukhari that when Surah Al-Ma'idah was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually sitting on top of a camel. And as Surah Al-Ma'idah was being revealed to his heart, it was so weighty that the camel had to sit down. Now, the average camel can carry about 400 pounds. So if the camel couldn't bear the weight, it gives you a sense of what is being cast into the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Surah Ma'idah is revealed, the camel had to sit down. In another hadith, we find that one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with one of the companions, And they're sitting side by side, such that the thigh of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was touching the thigh of the Sahabi. They're sitting that close. And in that moment, as they were sitting together, Allah Ta'ala sent down some Qur'an, some of the Qur'an to his heart. And the Sahabi said that he felt a pressure on his own leg that was so hard that he felt for a moment that his thigh bone was going to break. Now that's the strongest bone in the human body, the thigh bone. It's the hardest one to break. But he said he felt the pressure just being next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and having that physical contact that he thought it was going to break. Now, the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the firmest of hearts. And he is the strongest of all men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ. Had we revealed the Qur'an to a mountain, you would see the mountain would be humbled and pulverized due to the immensity, out of the khashya, the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the Qur'an was given to a mountain, the mountain would not be able to bear it. But it was given to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And although he found it weighty, because it is a qawl thaqeel, a heavy statement, he was able to bear it. Allah supported him. Allah strengthened him, enabled him to bear it. And by being able to bear the weightiness of the divine speech, he was able to memorize it, he was able to recite it, and he was able to transmit it to us. This is really important to understand because, you know, we're mahjub, you know, we're basically veiled from these realities. We can't really grasp the weightiness of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's so heavy that were it revealed to anyone other than him, they wouldn't have been able to bear it. Allah ta'ala mentions this in the Quran when he says, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. He says, we've only made the Quran easy by means of your tongue, بِلِسَانِكَ. We have only made the Qur'an easy, bilisanik. So the only way we're able to approach the book of Allah, to recite the book of Allah, to memorize the book of Allah, to try to study mudarasa and tadabbur and reflect on, the only way we can do any of that is because it was transmitted by the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who alone was able to bear the weightiness of the divine speech. Now, most of these hadith that describe the impact and weightiness of the wahi are found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the greatest and most famous commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari is, of course, Fath al-Bari of Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani comments on these hadith, and he makes a really beautiful point. He says that after mentioning these narrations and explaining them, he says that it is for this reason, the weightiness of the Qur'an, it is for this reason that children have an easier time learning the Qur'an than adults. That's observed. Children have an easier time memorizing. They have an easier time retaining the Book of Allah and learning it. And he says that that is because they are children. They have not yet reached the age of maturity and understanding. And you will find that if a person is an adult, especially if they understand the language of the Qur'an, but even if they don't, when a person has reached adulthood and they begin to memorize the Qur'an, it just takes a little while and then they can feel the weightiness. It is a qawl thaqeel. It is a heavy word. Now Allah Ta'ala mentions that he has also made it easy to memorize. But that does not take away the fact that it's still a heavy word. So if you reach adulthood and begin to memorize the Qur'an, Allah will make it easy. But that doesn't mean that it's not challenging. Right? Easy doesn't mean simple. It doesn't mean without challenges. It doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice some things. It doesn't mean you won't feel the weightiness. In fact, if you're an adult and you approach the Quran and try to understand it and memorize it, you're going to feel that weightiness because it's heavy. And as an adult, you have the maturity to recognize that. So having covered a little bit about the immensity of the divine speech, inshallah, tomorrow we will look at the particular fada'il connected to the Quran, and not in a very systematic way. There's no particular order, but as we go through the narrations that describe the virtues of the Quran, we will have little pit stops here and there where we go into certain issues such as contemplating the Quran, reflecting on the Quran, the importance of that, and the impediments to properly contemplating the Quran. So inshallah, we begin those tomorrow. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.